Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. I'm pleased to be joined this afternoon by Rebecca, who is here to speak with us about insights she's had coming out of participating in the kickoff with an eye towards participating in the year-long retreat. Welcome, Rebecca.
Thank you, Jen.
Thanks for being with us.
Oh, my pleasure.
Always, right?
Yes.
Maybe you could just start us off by talking about what you were seeing coming out of the kickoff that we had recently.
Yes. Well, it was a really, really wonderful workshop. And I know that the link has been sent out. I believe it has. So, and even if people weren't able to be on it, they can watch it now. So, because it was just such a beautiful day of walking through, as Sangha, walking through the processes that this practice was really, you know, at least as far as I can tell, was founded on. You know, that's certainly what I've been learning and practicing ever since coming to practice, the practices of, you know, attending, you know, getting clear on what we're hearing, what's the self-talk, what are the projections, where's the self-hate coming in, centering, you know, all of the five processes that we talk about so much in practice. Mm-hmm. And what I just loved about it was how, I don't know, well, there's so much I loved about it, but one was just how we were guided through taking something very specific in our lives. So through a guided imagery, sort of seeing what's something in your life, you know, that you want to look at, or, you know, whatever. And then working those five processes around that particular content area. And I just, mm-hmm. I just saw so much about how I stay in suffering, you know, can stay in suffering through bringing mm-hmm. attention to those five processes, if that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, so much in that. So really realizing that, you know, what we were looking at in the kickoff event is essentially training in the things that have always been the foundation of this practice with an eye towards that's going to be what we're going to use this year. And that the foundation of that being that, you know, suffering is happening in a process. There's something that's yeah. happening that's creating the suffering. Right? And so,
you blipped out for just a little bit. I'm sorry, Jen, you blipped out. Yeah, I heard suffering is happening, and then the very last sentence blipped out.
Oh, suffering is happening in a process.
Uh-huh,
so it's not just something that's happening to us, you know, that we have no influence over, no say over, that there are components to it. And so I think
yes.
what you're saying is that those components, those looking at the various pieces of it, those are the things that we can begin to look at to see how is the suffering process that seems like, God, it just happens over and over and over, and it's the mm-hmm. same thing, and I can't. But there are these ways, these tools we can use to begin to really look at it.
Exactly. And, you know, one of my favorite insights or things that Sherry said, and it just hit me, was when we were looking at beliefs and assumptions. And said something like, beliefs are dead. Beliefs are dead things, you know, and you know, we just sort of collect them, or collect beliefs, and you get enough of them, and it blocks out the insights that life could be dropping in, you know, or is dropping in, and we get, and right. they sort of get clouded over, and the other thing that she said about it was, we can't, as long as we're believing things, we can't see the beliefs themselves. It's sort of like trying yeah. to see something from inside the something. You just can't see it yeah. because you're in it. Mm-hmm. And so what I love about the way we're going to be doing this year-long retreat is that I just can't wait to hear, because if I'm hearing all of different Sangha as they call in every day and put out what they're seeing, it's like it takes it from behind my vision, and brings it right out in front. Like, you know, how we talk sometimes about it being just like pasted on the wallpaper, and it brings it out to where we can actually see it. And
yes.
and that, and really, I mean, sure, we can do that on our own, and we are, But to do it with Sangha, it's like it fast tracks the transformation. You know?
Yes. Yes, exactly. And you know, the thing that I saw when you said that, I mean, it's some version of what we always talk about when we talk about Sangha, but basically, so, you know, we're going to be using the making a change for good structure, and that place where, so let's say we're looking at, as you say, beliefs, right? And we're building up these beliefs around all these things, but all of that's happening on an unconscious level. So we begin to bring it to a conscious level through practicing with it together. And then, you know, we all go off in our own corners and we see what we see through our day using the, you know, the actual content of our lives. We come back together in our daily huddle, and then chances are you're going to have seen something that I won't have seen, and I'm going to mm-hmm. see something that you won't have seen. And in mm-hmm. that way, we kind of, boy, we gang up on it.
Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. And then plus we have the guide and Ashwini's, you know, their conversations and their reflect. I mean, it's just like a huge turbocharged awareness practice, you know, with all of us there together. I'm just really excited.
Me too. Me too. Yep. Go ahead. Please. No, absolutely.
Well,
go ahead.
Well, and I was just going to say, because I don't remember how much of this was said on the workshop, but I think that what we're doing, and you can maybe fill in any gaps, is that we're going to be taking monthly to certain content areas to work with. And, you know, so it'll, you know, we'll be told, you know, okay, we're going to be looking at this area now using the five processes and stuff like that. And the thing that, and this is how it ties in, so today the Musings article came out, and how it ties in with that, which is really going to be so helpful, is that we're going to be there to remind each other through our practice all the time that it's not about the thing. You know, it's not about, you know, so when you say making a change for good and the practice of compassionate self-discipline and all that, in my conditioned mind, it can, you know, the way I was conditioned, it can easily go to, oh, good, I'm finally going to get my, you know, finances under control because we're all going to practice this together. I'm finally going to get, you know, clear on what I want to do with my life because we're all doing this together. And all of those can be oh, good, my life's going to get fixed now, you know, and that's not and that's not it at all. I mean, you know, we may get some of these benefits, these whatever results or whatever, but that's really not what we're doing. You know, it's a subtle place. Yeah.
It is a subtle place. It's a subtle place for a couple of reasons, as you say that. One being that, you know, the irony is that, of course, when we do practice, what happens is we get really skilled at being here, being in the present moment, and things tend to work themselves out on that level, but not necessarily in the way that we thought they would. You know, they work themselves out in the sense of, oh, wow, I actually thought this was a big problem to solve. I didn't solve the problem. I realized it wasn't one.
Yeah. Wait a minute. My life's working. What's going on here? Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
I realized it wasn't one. A problem.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the other piece being that it's very helpful to bring the content of our daily lives to it, because without it, and this was something we were talking about in the kickoff, I think, it becomes an abstraction, and there's a way in which an abstraction of anything is much easier for the voices to take and use for its own mm-hmm. purposes. But when it becomes boots on the ground, this is what's actually going on in my life, that becomes the, I always use that word, portal, to mm-hmm. being able to actually practice with the process of it.
Yes, yeah. To me, I always think of the example of it's the difference between being in a classroom lecture setting and the lab. You know, in the lab, you've really got your hands on and you're getting to see stuff, and it's just not all in the head.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. That's a really good way to look at it. Yep. You get to have your own direct experience of it.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And in that way, it does embody the, let's see, what am I trying to say? It's like we get to actually see it in a, I heard it expressed in terms of like activity knowledge, like we're doing
yes,
it and we're learning it on
that.
A different level.
Yeah, that's perfect. And actually, that goes back to what we were talking about a minute ago with everyone coming together, because we're all, think about it. If I had to have every single little nuance of direct experience, well, I guess that's the biggest thing of it. Maybe in the end we do. But in this lifetime, that's going to be a challenge. But then when there's hundreds of us doing that every day, wow.
Yeah.
Then we seriously, exponentially multiply our direct experience, come together, share it, look at it together, and there's benefits so much.
Oh, my gosh, yeah. Yeah, one last little image, because I see we're up against the time, but as you're saying that, it's like everybody is the mirror for everyone else. And I remember a while back at the monastery, we were talking about a lighthouse that can cast the light out miles out to sea with like a 60-watt bulb or something like that because of the mirroring of the light. And that's why I think words like turbocharge and fast track and all that kind of come to my mind when I think about these year-long retreats, because they are such a powerful way to experience practice.
Mm. Wow, that is such a great image. Thank you for that. Thank you. And you're right, we are up against the clock. I did want to say one quick technical thing as we're ending, which I don't think that the recording is available to the whole Sangha of the kickoff event. However, the good news is that it literally was a kickoff in the sense that it was, kind of just a taste of what we're going to be working on the entire year. And we are going to, if all goes hopefully as planned, we'll have a chance on Good News as registration opens up and that sort of thing going forward to look at the detail of it, talk a little bit more about the mechanics of it, the opportunity of it, how it all works. And so, if there were folks who for whatever reason couldn't make it to the kickoff, it's completely all right that we're going to be exploring these topics in depth all year together. So.
Yeah, nobody's going to get left behind.
Exactly. All right, Rebecca.
Well, thank you so much
for being here this afternoon.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And Michael, we'll turn it over to you and Sherry.
Great. Thank you, Jen, and thank you, Rebecca. Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Michael.
How are you?
How are you?
I'm very good.
Yourself?
I'm very good.
All right.
Glad to be here.
Happy to be here.
Yes.
And I will tell you that I spent the day today with Ashwini working on that very year-long retreat. And it's really fun. I got to spend the whole day in an intensive workshop. And through the next year, we get to all go through that together as was described, and so I'm really excited about it.
Great.
Mm-hmm.
I am too.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just imagining as we go through these different content areas, I'm going to realize, oh, wow, content two, I do the same thing as content one and content four.
And there might be a little of
that.
There might be a little bit of that, yeah.
Yes. Yes. Very exciting.
Mm-hmm.
And I have announcements here, unless you'd like to share something else.
No, that's good. I'm ready for announcements. Thank you.
Okay. Do you need clarity around some sticky content in your life? You don't want to miss the new Socratic email class with Sherry that begins this Friday, February 1st. Participants will choose their focus for the class and we'll have 6 interactions with you, Sherry. Mm-hmm. And March is a beautiful time to be at the monastery, and it has been designated as a month of quiet, intentional focus on practice. If you have ever been a visiting monk, you are welcome to come for any length of time, a week, 2 weeks, or the whole of March, for this visiting monk intensive. Please email monasteryretreats@livingcompassion.org for more information or to reserve a place. And that is spelled monastery-retreats@livingcompassion.org. Gain some helpful insight into family karma at a retreat with Sherry and Ashwini in North Carolina, April 15th through 20th. The retreat will include yoga, meditation, and guidance with you, Sherry.
And we'll try to take the pain out of tax day.
Oh, yes. Yeah, mm-hmm. Exactly. Get your taxes done and then go on retreat.
Mm-hmm. Go on retreat and put that behind us. Yep.
Yes. And if you're already meditating in the morning or wish to start, why not enjoy the extra boost of meditating with Sangha? Virtual meditation groups are a unique way to receive the support and connection of practicing with Sangha. New group times will be added starting Friday, February 1st. For a full schedule of virtual groups, please visit the Virtual Meditation Groups webpage. And for these and other opportunities, visit livingcompassion.org. And a few reminders, if you'd like to talk with Sherry today, you can make guest show and get in the queue by pressing *6 and then 1. And focus on one topic and about 5 minutes in length would be great. Okay, you ready, Sherry?
I'm ready.
Okay. First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, it's Anna from Seattle.
Hey.
Hi, Anna.
How are you doing?
Hi. I'm fine. I'm fine. I was trying to listen to the great good news update, and I really was not. I did not listen to any of it. Ego did not let me listen to any of it almost. So, but there were very good vibes, and ego did not let me have any of it. I'm glad to get on the show. I mean, to be talking with you guys. Can you hear me? Okay.
Yeah, I can, but I didn't quite follow what you were saying. Tell me that again.
I was just not able to be present at all. I haven't
Good news?
Yeah.
Ah.
Anything really. It's just a big ego fest over here.
Oh. Well, you know, I suspect I have an idea about the why of that. Shall I tell you if it? And you can see if it coincides with what you suspect.
Okay.
Yeah. So you were a visiting monk, and you had a fabulous time, and then you went home, and you signed up to come back for part of the March practice intensive or practice time or whatever the heck we're calling that. We were talking about that today, as a matter of fact, looking at that and how we want it to be and how much we want it to be sort of what Michael just described, that, you know, a really quiet time, not a lot of pressure, just a really quiet time for plenty of time for walking and recording and listening and meditating and just being with yourself. And you know, that sort of thing, a person committing to that sort of thing, mm-hmm. will tend to set ego off. So that's my guess about what happened to you. What's yours?
Yeah, that's a good explanation. That's a good guess, mm-hmm. I think.
Ego's freaking out.
Yeah. Oh, and my work said, Anna, you can also take 2 weeks off.
I'm like, oh. And the voices in your head are going, no. Not that.
I mean, ego said, no thanks, it's okay.
Uh-huh. No, 1 week is plenty, really. Really, 1 week is plenty.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But I still have a little time. Also work. It's just so bad sometimes with the kids. Right now it's just like, oh my God, I really don't want to do this anymore because
of how conditioning reacts, because of what the voices do to you,
because I feel like I'm dealing with everything that the parents are causing, I don't know how much of this is ego, but I feel like the kids live out everything and process all of their feelings when I am there, because I kind of know a little bit better mm-hmm. how to handle it than the parents. Mm-hmm. And so everything mm-hmm. that's happening in the family dynamics when I'm there, they, you know, really, it gets, I mean...
They take it all out on you.
Yeah.
mm-hmm. Or act it all out. Act it all out when you're there. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I know how to... And it's all better than towards the end when it's time for me to leave, you know, it is all settled and okay, but the next day I'm there and it's all starting all over
mm-hmm.
every time, and it's really hard on me.
What's hard about it?
Because I get stuck with the energy and the emotions, and I can't really stop it after work.
Uh-huh. So you're not able to put on your Teflon suit when you walk in and just let it all run off of you.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. You take it in and take it on.
After I deal with all the feelings and emotions for, you know, I have 9-hour days usually. Not today. But some days are 9 hours. After 6 hours, you know, it's like, oh my gosh. And then after 9 hours, I feel like it's inside of me.
Yeah, like a sponge that's been wrung out.
Yeah. I'm working mm-hmm. on making my aura stronger, but it's just, I don't know. I don't think it's a quick fix.
No. It's not a quick fix. And it really is fabulous practice. Because that's what we're up against all the time, right? I mean, if you weren't there with them doing that, you would be somewhere else with other people. And the advantage with children, it seems to me, you can see if you agree with mm-hmm. this, the advantage with the children is, you know, it's not personal. You know, they're just kids being kids. If you were somewhere with adults, it would be harder often to convince yourself that there's nothing personal about it. because adults tend to know how to at least make it seem very personal.
Right. I had an experience of that. Yeah, I have experiences of that as well. Yeah, that's mm-hmm. true. Yeah.
And so if you start doing things, you know, some of the standard things that I'm sure you know about it, and we've probably talked about, you know, as much as possible, just keeping your left hand closed in a light fist.
Mm.
And what that does is, you know, supposedly, energy comes in from the left side. And so you just keep that hand closed. And it's just, if nothing else, it's a reminder to you not to take on other people's energy and to just let mm-hmm. it pass through you, just pass by you. And you could even picture it that way. You know, you see the, you know, the kids are yelling or acting out in whatever way, and you see that energy, and you just picture it just going right around you, right past you, over the top of you, under you, around you, but none of it sticks on you, right? Because you're mm-hmm. Teflon, and so nothing sticks on you. And when you leave work, you know, it's wintertime, so you could probably get away with something like tying a blue scarf around your fifth chakra, around your neck, and let that be a reminder not to take any of this stuff in, to take it on. And then when you leave, you practice letting that go, you know, take that blue scarf off, and then imagine blue energy just going through your throat, just like a beautiful blue breeze blowing through, and it's just taking anything out, any leftover stuff away, so that you're not taking any of that on. And you bring a lot of conscious awareness to that instead of, oh God, I hate this, I can't stand it, this is awful, which is taking it on. Your focus becomes, this has nothing to do with me, they're just kids, they're just doing what they're doing, so I can be here, they can do that, there are no hard feelings, they get it out. They don't have to take grief from their parents, and their parents don't have to deal with them. And so this is great service, and I'm learning how not to take on other people's stuff.
Yeah, and the anger is more towards the parents, kind of towards the mom, and than I have.
Yeah.
Because, but it's the same thing, right?
And you can just go, because it's really true. Life is... from a conditioned perspective, it's really unfair. And if people were different, we'd have a different world. If I were different, my world would be different. So, we know that.
Okay.
And in a way, the other thing that's really helpful about this is it's a personal growth workshop for you, in that you'll get to see so much about how you were raised, the things that are really upsetting to you, are likely because they were upsetting to you when you were a kid and it happened to you. You know, the things that aren't probably weren't issues for you growing up. So you get a, you know, great personal growth workshop at the same time. This is a good deal. And you're getting paid.
Yeah. Yes. Okay. And I'm going to study for what I'm going to do next, which is the energy.
That's exactly right.
That's exactly right.
Okay.
Yes, precisely.
Yes. You don't have to do it forever, but while you're there, and while you're studying, while you're there, and while this is affording you the opportunity to do your studying, you can take full advantage of the workshop that it is.
It has been. It has been a great workshop for the last 20 years.
Right. Right. And at some point we say, okay, I'm ready for a new workshop. Thank you very much.
Okay.
All right.
Well,
thank you, Anna.
Thanks so much. Bye.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Oops, my picture just went blank here. Sherry, are you still there?
I'm here.
Okay. Let's see. And it looks like... Yeah, I think, hold on, let me find, I don't know how these computers manage to go crazy just at the moment when I need them to be responsive.
That's exactly what we were just talking about, right?
Yes, exactly. And I enjoyed that conversation, and I enjoyed the possibility of reframing something that I perceive as a problem that is really an opportunity or a personal growth workshop, even paid perhaps. So that's
uh-huh.
great.
Yeah, you know, Michael, that is really so important. If we would do that with everything,
if
everything stopped being a problem and started being, a step in my in my enlightenment, what a different world, huh?
Yes, yes, exactly. And I'll mention to our listeners that several of you seem to have just been bumped out of the queue. So if you were in the queue earlier and don't seem to be now, you can press star 6 and then 1 again. And some of you are still in the queue. So
let's
talk to our next caller.
All right. Thank you.
You're welcome. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Yeah, hi, this is Helga from Charleston.
Hey.
Hey, Helga.
Hi, Helga.
I guess I didn't get bumped.
No, apparently
Good.
Not.
Apparently
yeah.
not. I'm glad.
What's going on?
I could so relate to some of what the previous caller was talking about, because I also take care of other people's kids. And, my experience at times was that whatever the children couldn't express towards their parents, they expressed it towards me, because,
mm-hmm.
I'm just the hired help. There's no real
mm-hmm.
consequences. And it was sometimes
mm-hmm.
really hard. So,
yes.
I can relate
yes.
to that.
Yeah, because we are so conditioned to take it personally, right? It's just almost
yeah.
impossible not to. And if we can, again, what a glorious transformation, because if we could really get it that what other people are doing has nothing to do with us, right? Just like us. I mean, we're just being us. I'm not being who I am because of somebody else. I'm being who I am. Somebody else may be there, but I'm being who I am because that's who I am, right?
Mm.
So
mm-hmm.
what conditioning wants to say is, yeah, but I'm really angry, or I'm really upset, or I'm disappointed, or whatever it is, because of what you did. No.
Yeah.
No. I'm feeling the way I'm feeling because I'm me, not because of you.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's hard, hard to get there.
Yeah, I've been in a situation. I don't even know what there's so many different things I could talk about, but I've been in a situation where my old boyfriend just kept blaming and blaming and blaming me for all his feelings, and I feel like for the first time I could really see that it has nothing to do with me. All his feelings, all his rage, everything, it's uncomfortable. It has been uncomfortable, but it really has nothing to do with me, except, he doesn't seem to think that. So, but it was, that was a very good, I've learned a lot. But, what I was going to say was, what I was going to talk about was that I just wanted to call in because I've had a really, really, really rough few weeks. And, I'm planning to come to the April retreat with the family karma, and I feel like that's what I've been dealing with, and I've just gotten to some really, really dark places, and I don't know if that's avoidable or if it's just, that's just part of my process. I mean, it seems like that's what it is. It has to do with my family. My family is, full of alcoholics and addicts and depressed people and suicide.
Mm. Mm.
And I just had to face all that in these last few weeks. And I have to say, you know, if it hadn't been for the practice and for everything that I've learned in these last 4 years, I don't know, you know.
Uh-huh. Well, I wish April could get here sooner. you know, because I suspect it will be a lot of support and probably a lot of you sort of nodding your head that, I've been seeing that. Yeah. I've been experiencing that. I think you're right. It is just part of our process. We do need to look squarely at where we come from and what we've done with that.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, and one thing that that I've been working with is that I've had that one way of, for me, or how I dealt with it was first I was anorexic, and then I developed this addiction to caffeine, which was, you know, serves a similar purpose, very self-destructive. And I gave it up. Like a few weeks ago, I finally gave it up, and that's when all hell started to break loose.
Yeah.
And I could see how that addiction, you know, had kept all these feelings at bay. That underneath there's just was just so much despair, so much just utter despair and loneliness. And, I mean, you name it, it's all there, you know. And having to face that, I can totally understand now why people, you know, with their addictions, why they can't let go of it, because it is so incredibly frightening. And when you know, if I didn't have, you know, as I said, if I didn't have the practice and learning that is not who I am, that is a voice in my head that keeps telling me all these things, that it's not who I am, I don't know how to stand those feelings, you know. I don't know how to be with that.
And, you know, Helga, you're saying something there that I think is a really, really important piece of this. And can sound sort of out there, except you have the experience, that we're going along and it's like we're in an ego balance, right? I've got my karma. I've got my ways of coping. I'm making it, right? And it's okay. You know, sometimes I feel good, sometimes I don't, but I'm me. Okay? And then we start a process of waking up, and we do something like stop a major addiction. And that karma, that conditioning that has been supporting ego, all right, as you go along, all of a sudden balance isn't there any longer. And ego is not in that comfort zone of calling the shots.
Mm-hmm.
And all of everything that it has in its arsenal to use against you to get you back into that place of being controlled by it, it's going to hit you with.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Until most people will just say, okay, whatever. You know, okay, I'll kill myself. I'll go back on the addiction. Whatever it is. But just going through this and getting to the other side just feels so impossible that it's not a choice. But it is a choice, right? And which is what practice prepares us for. We just start grabbing tools, right? You grab the recorder, you do the two-handed recording, you let that person scream and yell and carry on and cry and rage and whatever it is, and you listen and you're there with that person who's going through that. It is a person coming off of, a person detoxing.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you know, and the fear that has come up around that,
yeah.
you know, it's just unbelievable. I mean, I felt like a snail without its shell.
Yeah. Yeah.
Suddenly. And then also this sense of, you know, jumping off into something that I have no idea what is coming. Mm-hmm. You know, the addiction is like, I know exactly how it works. I know exactly what I'm thinking. I know exactly, you know, I know.
Yeah.
With this,
yes.
suddenly I feel like, you know, I'm jumping into the unknown. And I've had such anxiety, I mean, such anxiety
yes.
come up around all that.
Yes.
I mean, it's really hard sometimes to sit, but I, you know, it's, I mean, it was so bad that I actually started meditating every day.
Oh, my God. That is despair. Well, and, you know, this is, again, it sounds crazy to say something like that in the face of what you're describing. And yet it is true that is ego facing not having control over you. So mm-hmm. karma, one of the definitions of karma is exactly what you describe. I know. I know how I think. I know what I feel. I know what I'm going to do. I know. Mm-hmm. Do I? No, of course I don't. But I believe I do. I feel like I do. And so I feel safe and comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
You drop that and you have just stepped into the unknown,
mm-hmm.
which is where
yeah.
we've always lived and where we always live all the time, right? And what's feeling that exposed, vulnerable, unprotected is ego, because it's not being able to do what it has been able to do to control you. And it's hysterical. It's terrified. And again, and I'm sure you've run into this because you've been a meditator for a long time. People get to that place in practice and they quit practicing because,
yeah.
again, I will do anything to make that stop. I don't realize that's ego getting hysterical because it's losing control over my life. No, it feels like I'm going to die.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So to sit still through that, it's like sitting still through the longest panic attack in the history of panic attacks. Right?
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that is what we have to do, because that is the only way to get to the other side of it. Now, of course, what it wants us to believe is this is going to last forever. You're going to live another God knows how many years, and it's going to be like this every day of your life, and you're just going to be in hell forever. That's not true. It has a finite period of time in which it is able to do this. Now, that doesn't mean that it can't circle back around, because it can circle back around, right? But it can't do that to you. It can't do that to you indefinitely. It can't. That's the good news. Ego is finite. Okay? What's truly animating you, the awareness practice that is sustaining you through this, is infinite. Which brings me to another point that you may or may not be interested in, and that is getting to that place of saying, okay, come on. Give it all. Come on. What else have you got? I feel as miserable, right? I feel as miserable as I can feel. So give me the rest of it now. Yeah?
Yeah, I'll see if I get there.
Yeah. But you can sense it, right?
Yeah.
Because it's the fear of it. It's the fear of it. That that's how it's able to control us. And when we get to that place of do your damnedest, we'll realize it really doesn't have anything. All it has going for it is our fear of it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We can see how people got to those images like Dark Night of the Soul.
Oh, yeah. Or all those monsters on the churches and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
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 And fortunately, all our heroes have come through it. That's the story they tell. There's not one of them who hasn't gone through it.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is, you know, it's like the thing is with all of it, I have felt, you know, I just thought of you a lot and, you know, just felt like in some ways, you know, I'm guided. There's so much help here for me to go through this because, as I said, if I didn't have all this, if I didn't have this support, I probably wouldn't even have gone there because it is just really
right.
So incredibly frightening.
Yeah.
And with no tools whatsoever, you know, my sister killed herself, and I know why.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. I do too. Yeah. Yeah.
So anyway, thank you.
You are so welcome. You know where we are.
Yes, and I'll see you in April for sure.
Excellent. I'll look forward to it. Thank you, Helga.
Okay, thank you.
Take good care of you. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Helga. Sherry, two things dropped in during that conversation. The first is the extraordinary courage of people in this practice who call in and share.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I do another retreat, an ongoing retreat, and I was talking with people because it's all virtual. People do it on the phone. And we'll all get together, and then some people won't say that they're on the call. They don't speak up, and they don't say that they're on the call. And we have no idea. I have no idea of knowing who is and who isn't. And so periodically I do this little, as Sister Phil calls it, a fervorino about, come on. You know, just say your name. Just let us know that you're there. Because, we'd love it if you'd talk. But even if you don't talk, just knowing that you're there, bearing witness, gives everybody more strength and more courage. Every time somebody speaks up, all of the rest of us get a little more strength.
Yeah.
Right? So in these last two conversations, you know, we're there identifying with, empathizing with, relating to, cheering for, encouraged by, hoping for these people who are talking about the practice that they're doing. And so we go to that place and we have that for ourselves. We're feeling it for them, right? God, that's so courageous. But who's having that experience? Me. Right? And so that's how I'm supported when other people talk about what they're going through. And so each of us being that for one another, we're just compounding the strength and courage we bring to this through sharing what it is that we're doing, what we're up against. It's incredibly important. It's the most important thing. None of us would be doing this on our own.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. And you just made my second point, which was that through this practice, I'm given the privilege of seeing the inside of other people's minds.
Yes.
You know, hundreds and thousands.
Mm-hmm.
And so
yes.
It's not a mystery how it works. Because when I go out in the world in my normal day, I don't have these kinds of conversations. I don't know what's going on in people's minds because people don't talk that way generally out in the world.
Yes.
But in practice, people are incredibly open. And so yes. I see how people work, and I know why they behave the way they do, and then I know why I behave the way I do.
So yes, and we can extrapolate, right?
Yeah.
We can extrapolate. So we're walking, you know, we're at work and somebody does something and we go, huh, well, if I were doing that, or wow,
yes.
I've heard a lot of people talk about that. And
yeah.
I know for myself, that comes from a place of suffering or being in pain or being frightened
yeah.
or whatever it is. Now, I don't know if that's true or not, but I have a lot of compassion for us as human beings because it's a lot of times it's a really rough go.
Yes. Yes, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
And we have time to hear from our sponsor, Sherry, and then we'll be back to talk with more callers.
All right.
What if you lived with your soul as your pilot? What skies would you fly? How wide would you open? What would you sing if you gave voice to your beautiful heart?
This great song by Trish Bruxford Culligan invites us to give voice to our hearts. Simply Celebrate offers you a variety of ways to express your heart. And one of those is by celebrating the people you love. Our one-of-a-kind customized celebration books are like magic mirrors that reflect all of the laughter, adventures, and delight that friends and family share. Clients tell us that this is the best gift ever. Give voice to your heart and give a gift of love that lasts a lifetime. Visit simplycelebrate.net and turn ordinary days into an extraordinary life.
Welcome back to Open Air, and we have another caller here, Sherry.
Oh, good.
Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Good evening, Michael and Sherry. It's Todd here.
Well, hello,
hey, Todd.
Hi. Yeah, I am deeply inspired by the previous conversations and all the opportunities to participate with Sangha. What struck me was when you said the karma circles back around. It doesn't mean it won't circle back around. And yeah, that's definitely my experience. And when it happened early in practice, it was really deflating and frustrating and discouraging. And it was a great place for conditioning to get that, you know, that quit practice spot.
Yeah, I thought it was behind me.
Right. Oh,
yeah.
All the stuff I've done, and then I'm back where I feel like I started, and And as practice has gone on, it does come back around. But I think, as you expressed in so many different ways, that just with all the tools and participation and being connected and just the transformation that conditioning will often allow me to embrace or accept or see, it comes back around, but it's not as defeatist.
It's not the same, is it?
No.
You're seeing it from a different, you're different. You're seeing
yes.
it from, so, you know, yeah, and that's what's so
yeah.
perfect about it, isn't it? So
right.
When I first encounter it, when I first
mm-hmm.
see it for what it is, I'm one person and I see one thing. But
yeah.
in the period of time that it's not in front of me, I'm different. And when it comes around, I see it from a different perspective, a different angle.
Yeah,
and so
absolutely.
I see something else about it,
yeah.
which is really the good news. Because by the time it stops coming around, it'll
mm-hmm.
stop coming around because I've seen every bit of it. And
mm.
I've seen through it, so
mm.
I don't see it anymore.
Wow. That's really encouraging.
Yeah.
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 And with that, it doesn't mean, it's so hard to put it into words, but it doesn't mean that if I weren't flipped back to that person I was when I first started, I wouldn't see it.
Mm-hmm.
I would, because
yeah.
I would be projecting it.
Ah.
So it's, right? So
yeah,
the same
right.
thing, I was projecting one thing
mm.
at that point, now that I've seen through all of the aspects of it, mm-hmm. those projections aren't there. And so that issue isn't there.
Yeah. 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 And what dropped in as you're saying that is the upcoming year-long retreat is going to give us that opportunity over and over and over again with the tools of the processes we're going to look at of projection and self-hate and the story and, you know, how I see the world, mm-hmm. and get to use that with support of Sangha and the daily radio shows to, like you said, it'll just come back around, oh, good, I get to see it this way, and I get to, you know, vet it out and get to see all the perspectives of Sangha and you and Ashwini, and that's what I found in the last 2 years of having that radio show, have done that in so many different areas. The last two year-long retreats with the radio show support has been so profound.
Yes.
And
yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're getting deep, aren't we?
Oh, we're digging deep. We're getting near the core. Yeah. It's getting hot down there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Near the mantle.
Heating up.
It's heating up. Yeah, it's heating up. Mm-hmm. And also, I just saw that as the karma comes back around, and I'm in a similar background karma, the big chunk of karma's come back around recently, just embracing it more as the gift, as you said, is here's the workshop, oh, here's light presenting, oh, interesting. So I thought I was done with that. Obviously, I'm not. That's okay. And embracing it as a gift rather than, you know, another series of trials and tribulations to slog through, to receive it as, oh, wow, I need to see more about this. What is that?
Yeah, what's here now?
Here now?
Clearly, I hadn't seen it completely, so now I'm ready to see something else. Yeah, if we saw it as progress instead of punishment.
Yes.
Right?
So now punishment.
Now I'm in a new place. I'm ready to see something else. So, you know, if we're, and sometimes I think this does happen to people, but you're in school, and so it's math, you know, and first you learn addition and subtraction, and then division and multiplication, and then you're on to algebra, and then you're on. If you felt punished every time you had a new aspect of math to study, it would be awful. But to realize, well, I've learned all of that, so now I'm ready for this new, bigger, larger perspective. I get to learn something new here because I'm ready.
Right.
It's a reward.
Ah, I love the reframing. It's a reward because for forever it feels like, Sherry, conditioning, egocentric, karmic conditioning, self-hate has reframed it as punitive.
Yes.
Yeah.
You failed.
Yeah, exactly.
You failed, and so you're right back where you were. Well, of course you're not. But it takes us a long time. It takes us a lot of practice to realize, no, I'm not in the same place I was. That's ridiculous. Yeah. We step back from those voices. We realize, well, that's not even possible. I'm not the same person I was a second ago, let alone a year, 5 years, 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Of course not.
Yeah, exactly. Oh,
but you know,
great.
Todd, one other thing about that, the reason that we get fooled is that ego is in the same place it was.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
Yes.
Conditioning doesn't learn and grow and change.
Nope.
As far as I can tell, karma doesn't learn and grow and change.
Doesn't
right?
seem
so,
to.
Yeah, so those systems, when we're looking identified with and looking through those systems, then nothing has changed is kind of a true story.
So I do feel like the old self.
Yeah.
When I'm identified, right?
Yes.
So there is truth about that if I wasn't ever able to disidentify. But since I have the tools to disidentify and get to center, I can then step back and go, oh, I was identified with condition. No wonder it felt same old, same old.
Exactly so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Isn't that good?
That's a good story. That's good news.
Yeah.
Good news. All right. Looking forward to the year long. Looking forward to the year-long retreat. I'll be signing up. So
good.
Great. Well, thanks.
Right.
Thanks
see
so much, Sherry.
Thanks, Todd.
Okay. Thanks, Michael.
Okay. Bye-bye.
You're welcome.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night. Thanks for joining us, Todd. And Sherry, we have time for at least one more caller here.
All right.
Next caller.
Hello.
You are now live on the air. And would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Ren. Can you hear me okay?
Yes. Hello,
yes.
Ren.
Oh, yay!
Hi, Ren.
I'm so excited. I've missed you guys.
Yeah. What have you been up to?
Oh, my gosh. Well, I thought, the year-long retreat is ended, so, it's just going to be this whole bad thing until the next one comes around. Well, then I remember that I ordered myself for Christmas, what universe are you creating? So I made a little calendar, and every day of January I picked a little card.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been working fabulously. And then 2008, something is special about that year. I hit it listening to the archives. It's like talking to me, right to me. Exactly what you were saying about bearing witness to each other. And then when I was listening to people's stories, I was like, that's a projection. That's a attitude belief. And so then I was trying to remember, because I'm having this in my car, and then I came up with this little, bear with me here, this little character that says, "Vap hate here." Like, vaporize it, evaporate it, whatever that word is. Vap is for, what do the voices say, or what is our first question? Now I'm blowing it. A is for the attitudes and beliefs. P is for the projection.
Mm-hmm.
Hate is what are the voices of hate saying, and here is who's here. And so then I got a little notebook, and I started writing, "Vap hate here," and then at the bottom I put, "When I hear blank, I know blank." And so as I hear things, I jot them down like in my car, and like even on the show here, I just got one that said, now it's not a full story, but like, the truth is it has nothing to do with me. That is ego facing, not having control over my life. So I put that under the I know statement. One of the beliefs would be that I'll be identified forever. And so just doing this pattern is so exciting to me. And then I started getting into like looking at the Enneagrams, and I was naming like who was here, like doesn't mean anything to anybody else, but somebody's name I don't want to say just in case they would be listening. The girl that was a valedictorian for high school. So, that was my perfectionist. Uh-huh. And then my people pleaser is June Cleaver. And so, I got all these different just crazy excited, just different ideas about how, I think Ashwini was saying, when we can do the first part and identify the voices, that's pretty good. But then we have to remember to do the next part, which is, when I hear this, I am going to know this or change this or not believe this or tell myself this, and then go ahead and tie it with the recording and listening and make some support messages that say, whatever that support is. And so I'm just seeing it come together. I'm like so excited.
Well, yeah, and Ren, the thing I love best about this, about what you're describing, is that you're not just doing this in your head, right? Which is a very dangerous place for us as conditioned human beings. Right, you're making it very tangible for yourself, right? I mean, you're writing things down, and then you're putting them together, and then you're doing your little charts, and then recording about it,
it makes it, well, it's tangible. I mean, it just makes it real for you in a way that just thinking about it never would, which is why ego wants people just to think about stuff. Because it's in charge. When we're inside our heads, it's in charge. But what you're doing is charting the insights.
And it helps me because I don't always go in order. You know, first I might hear the self-hate message. That's pretty easy. And then I may be able to do the projection. And then I have to really think, what is the attitude or belief? That's something I got to dig a little deeper for because I'm not in good practice of identifying it. But the more I hear different attitudes and beliefs, and I can go, and then when I get down to the bottom, I go, now I have like 5 more attitudes and beliefs, you know, like there's just so many, you can run them off the page. Yes, and I realize that I've spent so much time wasted trying to figure things out, but yet this is feeling way different than figuring it out. Yes, I'm writing things down, but you know what I'm saying? The difference.
Well, the figuring it out is that dangerous place inside the head.
In the head,
where I'm just up there noodling about stuff, and really ego is just running its, you did that, and then he said that, and but how does that, I don't understand how, that goes nowhere forever. But to be tuned into the insights and to capture the insight.
Yeah, the insights.
When it drops in and you see it, you hang on to it. You don't just let the next voice that comes along grab it and roll it into some sort of noodling about something. That's a critical difference. And for me, that's what makes it so exciting.
Yes, because I've been getting way more aware of, why are you going in your mind a conversation you had a year ago? no, you know what I mean? Probably, like, not good. And then instead of just saying, like, drop it, the part, you know, where I can have the recording and listening support messages to really target, you know, that's what's really been powerful. And I think it started with the cards and getting me to record and listen, because it will tell me a story like, well, you don't have time to record and listen because you got to do a whole big thing. And then I said, no, I don't. That one day I just said, peace, peace, peace. That's one word. I got time for one word. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
And then I listened to it, and I was like, this is all I need for the rest of, you know, the day at least. Maybe the month.
Yes.
I don't know. Maybe ever.
Yes, yes, so. Yes. And focusing your attention the way you're focusing it really highlights the ego voices, right?
Mm-hmm.
So when you're focused in the way that you're describing, that voice that comes in and says, well, you don't have time to record and listen to you, it is so obvious. It's like it's blaring it through a megaphone. There's nothing subtle. You're not missing it.
You're picking up patterns. Yeah. Like, it's the same story. Oh, this is that story of, like, something wrong, not enough. Oh, this is that unlovable story. I heard that one before. You know, it's a slightly different version. And it's like, well, really, I don't have that many of these stories going around. They're getting easier to spot. You're going to have to come up with something else conditioning. And I know you will,
that's
okay.
That's right, because you'll spot that as well. And also the other thing that you're describing that is so very, very important is that you know you're practicing directing attention away from that story. You recognize it. Okay, all right, peace. I choose to be here. I choose to focus on peace, or whatever it is that you're focusing on right now.
I was I enjoy the year long so much that when it ended, I thought, oh, no. And the oh, no was the most beautiful opportunity. I didn't plan to, you know, do that. It just happened. It happened somehow. And, you know, then when I watched the kickoff, it happened. It happened. You know what I mean? And
yes.
So it was like
that's how
opportunity.
You know we're guided.
Yeah.
There.
Yeah.
That's the advantage of learning to watch for the insights, because that's how we're guided.
Yeah.
And you just knew. You
just
knew
amazed.
For Christmas you were
like,
going to get what universe, and then you were going to do the next thing.
And then I said, I'll do the first card. Okay, let's see where this goes. Oh, they said make a calendar. Okay, I'll do it for January. You know, and then next comes the email class. And so it's just like as if I, you know, stood in my calendar and noodled it all out. I definitely couldn't have made it any more perfect than this. And it's like a surprise each day, like, oh, how about this? And then, you know, I'm just so grateful for everyone. And if they did not have the courage to say the things they did back in 2008, I wouldn't, you know, those things are touching me even now.
Yeah.
It's amazing how much
it's timeless, isn't it?
Together. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, thank you so much.
Oh, you are so welcome. Thank you. That was like a little how-to workshop there. So, you know, who knows what's 2008 and now we're 10 years from now, maybe people will be listening to this and they'll go, oh, those are great ideas. I'm going to do that too. Yeah.
It's very cool to think about that.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Ren. Thank you so much.
Care.
All right.
Bye.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Ren. And what enthusiasm, Sherry. That was amazing.
Yeah. I want to get out I want to get out that what universe and make my calendar. And
yes. And what a fabulous show all around.
Yes. Such lovely people we get to talk with, huh?
Lovely people. Lovely people.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's
thing.
Do it again next week.
All right. Sounds good. Thank you, Michael.
Thank
good
you,
night.
Sherry. Good night.
Bye-bye.
Bye.